This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to Best Friends for Pets. I'm your show host, Michelle Berg. I have a guest today that it's a welcome back. He's been on Best Pets before. He is quite the human. He's simply amazing in my eyes and in many others. He is an Emmy-nominated TV host, entrepreneur, animal advocate, and author. And he is a storyteller like no other. So you don't want to miss this show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Rocky Kanaka to Best Pets for Pets. Welcome, Rocky. Welcome back.
Hey, Michelle. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Great to have you. I know you were on this show. I've been doing this show a long time. 15 years. So I think it was a long time ago, like 9 years ago. But great to have you back. So you recently wrote a book, Sitting with Dogs, Stories of Rescue Dogs Going from Lost to Loved. And I have to tell you, I've had a lot of books my way recently. I think it's the book season, which is great. I love books. Your book touched me on a different level. It's fascinating. What motivation for writing Sitting with Dogs?
Michelle, thanks for having me. You know, I think it's been like 7 to 10 years since I was on your show last time. And the thing is, I've always been working to help advocate for pet adoption, tell the stories of these dogs. And where this book really came to be was not from me. It was from a publisher reaching out and saying, hey, how do we tell these stories? Because it's really raw in its best form. It's me being vulnerable with the dog and really allowing the dog to speak, not in a barking sense. If they'd like to, they can. But when I sit down with them in the kennel at these shelters, these are the dogs that are in their lowest moments. They are broken. They have given up. They are, and no dog is broken, but they feel broken. And so what I try to do is I find the dogs that everyone has passed by or that are hiding in the corners, trying to melt and disappear because they just don't understand why they're there. And just lift them up a little bit. We don't try to solve all their problems. We don't try and train them into being the dog that someone would want them to be. I just sit there with them. And we are winning more than we are losing. We are helping dogs get adopted, but often we lose and it's really hard. And I was looking for a way to share the stories of the dogs that are getting out of the shelter that we got to sit with, to going to amazing families and have had this complete turnaround that they are so deserving of, that we are all so deserving of. And so when the book publisher reached out to me and said, we'd love to try and help you with this, I said, I have two things. One, that would be amazing. Two, I am extreme dyslexic. I couldn't write if my life depended on it. And are you sure you have the right person? So they said, we'll help. Let's do this together. And so this has been a long journey over the last year, putting these stories together, a lot of laughing and crying. But man, I am glad we are here. And I hope this helps a lot of people consider adopting a pet.
I think it will. And this is going a little backwards. But when you say sitting with dogs, you have a show about sitting with dogs. I mean, that's what your show is called. For people that, I don't know, there might be five out there that don't know of you, can you give a little background on you? We're a little backwards, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, so I am nothing special in the sense of I am not a dog trainer or a specialist or a veterinarian. I am just a guy who wants to help dogs and has been learning the best I can, working in shelters for a while. And what I started doing is just going into the kennels and sitting with these dogs on my volunteer hours. And what happened is I would put my phone in there so that I could approach the dog in a way that I've learned over the years that was very non-threatening, because these dogs were heightened alerts and you don't want them to bite, obviously, because you don't want to have a dog bite that hurts, but more so because that often in most shelters spells the end for that dog. And so you want to be very cautious and not put a lot of stress on them. And so if you go in not looking at them, not giving them eye contact, following dog body language, then it can really help. But how do you know if they're going to bite you in the rear? Well, you put your phone down, you just turn it on, and you've got yourself a rear view mirror that the dog doesn't really pay any attention to. And so I started recording that and sharing it with people, and it helped dogs get adopted. So we were now I was not only comforting dogs and helping tell their story, but it was leading to dog adoptions, and it really built a neat community. And so I've been doing that for the last few years. And I think most of the time people don't know my name, but they do know the dog's name that they see or the videos that they see. And that couldn't make me any happier.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you say you're not anything special. I think you're very special. Not everybody. And I think you're very skilled, because not everyone can be patient enough to sit with or have the courage to sit with a dog that might have who knows what kind of fears or anxiety or whatever, and process them through it. So I think that's amazing. Can you share the story of Flip? That was so touching.
So I had a boxer dog that when I went to a rescue, he couldn't walk. He would, like an awkward two-year-old learning to walk, he would wipe out, fall, tumble, but then get back up again and just be so happy. And he would have to flip his paws up to walk, which is where he got his name Flip, because someone had locked him in a crate for 4 to 6 months. They were a breeder trying to sell boxers. They couldn't sell this one. So he never got out of a crate. So his paws atrophied. They kind of locked, so they wouldn't function correctly, because he couldn't stand up in this crate that was too small for him. And so it was endearing and heartfelt and sad and all of the things at the same time. And he went to go jump up into my car because he wanted to come home with me. He face planted on the bumper. He shook it off and he tried again. This time I scooped him up and put him in the back of my Jeep. and from there on, we were best buddies. He almost didn't make it. It turns out he had distemper. This was a decade ago. I spent thousands of dollars on a credit card. I didn't have the money. I didn't care. And it worked. And he spent the rest of his life repaying me tenfold. I'll never be able to repay him. And when I lost him about a year or two ago now, I had this deep hole in my heart. And I knew I had to continue carrying on the mission that him and I had together, because he was that dog that could help rehabilitate any dog, whether it was a puppy and he had to guide that puppy into being a dog, or an alpha dog and he had to show them that aggression was not the right behavior, or a dog that was feral and scared and he had to show them how to dog. He was just that guy, and I was so lucky to have him. And so I'm working to carry on that mission. And we started an entire farm and a coffee farm in Southern California, and rehabilitation farm named after him, Flip Farms and Flip Coffee.
Now, I love it. I love that. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm talking to Rocky Kanaka. He is the author of Sitting with Dogs, Stories of Rescues, Dogs Going from Lost to Love. In the book, there are 10 different dogs, and each of them has their own, you know, situation. And sometimes you, like, as you mentioned in the shelters, you do get information as to what happened. The dog was maybe adopted and returned or abandoned, but sometimes you don't. Before we talk more about the dogs in the book, how do you deal with the fact that I think there was one dog that was in a room with 160 other dogs with a hoarding situation? How do you process that?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
One more thing, even what happened with Flip to be contained in a tight little box, but how do you process that?
You know, it's a good question because I think a lot of people ask that question in their head, but may not just directly ask that question. And two ways. One, I will say it's very hard. And I have really deep, hard days, dark days. But this community of dog rescue and people like yourself and dog loving people out there, we pull each other through this together. And I believe what we're going through right now is a solvable problem. All of us together can solve this problem so many pets don't have to suffer. And the other thing that I do is I really fast forward to a time in their future where everything is going to be okay. Because most of the time when you see or meet a dog in that situation, the hardest moments are behind them. And so I look at a dog that's been in a hoarding case with all of those dogs that is shut down. And I know that while it's going to be hard work, from here, they're going to have those days where they sneak the potato chip off the coffee table that they shouldn't. And we laugh together and run to the park together and play fetch together. And they get to snuggle in the bed and they get in trouble for being on the couch. All of the things that we take for granted once a dog has arrived at that state, that a dog that's been in those really horrible situations isn't there or has regressed and can't find their way back. And so I really fast forward to what those moments will look like and what that dog will look like in those moments. And I share that with them. I tell them that that's where we're going to get to at their pace when they're ready. And so that really helps me get out of those deep, dark moments.
Thank you for sharing that. What about situations where the dog was adopted from a shelter and then returned to the same shelter? And by the way, I'm just curious about this. It's not bashing shelters. The people that work in shelters, that run shelters, do amazing work. They are saints. But my question is, do you think sometimes some shelters maybe don't validate the people that are potentially adopting? They don't verify their information. Some places you basically have to come to your home and inspect it. And others, it's like, okay, here's the fee, here's the dog.
Yeah.
What do you do with shelters that just don't do the extra step in making sure that the dog is going to his forever home and not forever for a few months and then we're getting returned back just for another reason than, well, you know, he grew up and now he's not a puppy?
Yeah. Wow. It really runs the gamut, doesn't it? From someone saying, hey, listen, you know, unless you have a 22-foot high fence, double fenced electric gate with an automatic chairlift, you can't have this dog, all the way to, it seems like people roll down their window and the shelter throws kittens into their car seat. Yeah. So, okay, here's what I've seen in touring shelters across the nation and being in shelters. I have yet to run into a shelter that has been too easy on adopting a pet out. In fact, I always try to encourage them to loosen the reins a little bit because I just haven't ever seen it. More so what I see when pets come back are the system is in the way of that person that had really great intentions. So they go, I'm going to adopt this pet. Everything's going to be wonderful. And then they lose their job, or their landlord calls and says, hey, we're no longer going to allow pets in this facility. Or they go to the vet and the vet says, oh yeah, they just need to have a simple procedure. That'll be $2,400. And they go, well, that's now I have to decide between my kids eating this month or my dog eating this month. And I need to do the right thing and turn the dog into the shelter. So I very rarely, I'd say the smaller percentage is that happening. And the bigger percentage is it's becoming more and more challenging to own a pet, even when you have the best intentions.
So we need a happy medium here.
I think that's right.
Okay, let's talk about Bean, who is so cute. So Bean was first, I'm looking at the picture going, I want him. So Bean's your first dog at Flip Farms. So how was it? Because you adopted him to you. He was adopted out, right?
That's right. So working backwards, someone adopted him. And I second guess myself every day, but I do that for every dog that we get adopted. You know, what we really focus on, our mission is rehabilitating dogs and getting them into loving families. We are not a sanctuary. We don't collect dogs. And not that there's anything wrong with being a sanctuary. We're not even a nonprofit. And again, nothing wrong with that. But we have a model where when you purchase coffee from us that we grow on our farm or roast from other farmers, then we use those funds to then pay for the rehabilitation of the dogs that we have on our farm. And listen, these are the dogs that are, the fees are astronomical. A shelter couldn't reasonably rehabilitate this dog because Bean cost us, I can't remember now, but between $40,000 and $60,000.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And I don't expect in most situations for people or rescues or organizations to do that. But we have taken it upon ourselves to go, we want the ones that that we can do that for, that we can help and let them know that they matter no matter the cost. It's not their fault that vet costs can be through the roof and that they might have to have three surgeries versus one, or, you know, that's not the dog's fault. So he was the first one on Flip Farms, because before that we had always fostered dogs, and we said, okay, we're gonna take this to the next level. We're gonna start bringing dogs in. The most we've had on the farm at any given time so far has been five, and he was the first one, and he was with us for about 8 or 9 months, which is longer than most dogs could ever be at a shelter rehabilitating. And yeah, this little cute little cattle dog, like all cattle dogs, is just as strong as, you know, Teflon, and as fast as a bullet, and his character is just happy as a clam. And I'm so happy that he is with his loving family now, and he pulled through all of that. And the lesson that we learned from Bean is tenacity. No matter how dire his situation was, no matter how extreme the pain was, he just kept carrying on and kept being a happy little boy. And it was such an inspiration to my wife and I and my whole team and everyone that was a part of this community. I'm happy to say he's living his best life now.
And that's the best outcome. Which of the dogs was the most difficult to write about?
Outside of my dog, Flip, my late dog, Flip, I think the one that continues to get me is Macy, the German Shepherd, who was emaciated and starved for years.
Oh, I'm self-made. I've always worked for what I got, and I'm not very affluent by any means. And I didn't grow up fancy, but we had a dog and he was never starved. I can't understand. That's when the dog should be surrendered, but maybe the person was not of normal mind. I can't wrap my head around this.
You know, I don't know. And I think I put it aside because I don't think we'll ever know. This dog got away, or someone dropped the dog off, or a lot of times a good Samaritan will steal these dogs and get them away. Because a dog that was this emaciated, their teeth were so soft from years of malnourishment that we had to go to a special canine dentist. Their nails and their paws couldn't be trimmed because they were just like putty, because they didn't have the nourishment needed to form hard nails. And so this is years of torture through a very sick person. And we don't know who that person is. No one ever was able to ever find them or anything. But the neat thing about Macy was, it's a testament to dogs. And when I sat with her, most of the time dogs will be in the corner, they'll be hiding. I'll slowly work to bring them out of their shell. And if I'm lucky, they'll eventually come to me. Whereas with her, she immediately came to me and put her head on my chest and started crying, almost like a human cry, because the need for love and affection is as strong often as the need for food. That's how much, when we try to act really tough and say, I don't need anybody, I'm going to do this by myself, well, I don't need others, we are lying to ourselves. The need for connection is the meaning of life. And she was a true testament of that. And to this day, she is so loving to her new mom and so happy and so healthy. And I don't know too many humans who have been through situations like that, that it could come out on the other end being so loving, kind, and willing to trust again. And she is a testament to how much we have to learn from dogs.
Yes, exactly. Very well said. And by the way, I'm sorry Flip has gone, and reading about him was just so joyful. I mean, just, or joyous, I should say. It was just, sounded like the most wonderful dog ever.
I think the neat thing about Flip too is the shared experiences I didn't realize so many of us have with that soul dog that we have lost and we yearn to meet again one day, or we can often feel their presence with us, or the dog that we have that we know one day will go over the rainbow, and we, you know, we hope the days go slow until that happens. And so being able to connect with folks like yourself and others around that has been just so amazing.
Woof. This is also emotional. Do you ever get exhausted when you're sitting with the dogs? It's a very emotional thing. Just drained from it. Just, you're exciting and charismatic, but I'm also feeling this like, because everything that they've gone through is it's deep. But let's get to some lighter note here.
Yes.
So what was one of the more unusual habits of a rescue dog, either in the book or not? Something that made you go, where did this dog get this affinity for this? Or why is he doing that or something? What was the craziest thing you've ever found from a rescue dog?
Yeah, I think every dog I've worked with teaches me a lesson in one way or another. And I think to the most point, how unique each and every dog is. The minute you go, oh, I love huskies, and this is exactly the way huskies are, because you see common traits in huskies, you meet a husky that is completely different. And it just surprises you to no end. And it's so encouraging, because it's just like us. When people say, you know, oh, you're like this, so you need to act this way, and you don't fit that mold. And I'm here to tell you that embrace that. And because dogs do, you know, like,
we should embrace our uniqueness and
that's right.
Fitting in the mold. That's a great way to, great answer and a great thing to keep in mind. Let's talk about dogs' names, because you have a section in the book where you talk about that. Can you share one of the worst names you've ever heard? And that's because most dogs in the shelter are named, but usually people change their names. And sometimes they sound the same, sometimes they don't. My dog Zeus, who's in doggy heaven, he was named Binky and returned to the shelter. A Binky, I think, also a pacifier. I don't get, he was like this little black fluff ball, but they said he was aggressive. No. So I got him on the eve of Hurricane Wilma. So it was either Fred or Zeus who threw lightning bolts. So I thought, we'll go for Zeus. But he had the most meekest personality. I called him my angel boy.
Awesome.
That's kind of
Zeus. Well, and what a good name too. Like when you hear Zeus, no matter his size, it defines his personality, that he is larger than life. And I had an uncle that I love so much that told me it's all in a name. Like it really matters. It can really define you or others. And so be careful and be kind in names. And I found that to be true in dogs. You know, one dog came in that I've had a lot of bad dog names, but one dog was named Venom.
Oh, Venom. What?
And, you know, some people say, oh, it's from the character Spider-Man. I don't think that was the situation here, because there was definitely some neglect and some harm. And this dog was Midnight Black and was hiding in the corner of the shelter. And this dog's name's Venom. Well, nobody is going to adopt that kind of dog. And if someone's listening right now and they go, that's the kind of dog I would adopt. Maybe, but most people coming through the shelter might be first-time dog owners, or might be looking for that cute, friendly dog. And those are the dogs that get adopted. The ones that come up to the front of the kennel, they wag their tail, they lick you, they want a treat. It's not the black dogs hiding in the shadows of the corner of the kennel named Venom. And so I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to sit with Venom and learn their story, and was able to rename Venom to Honey, because she was just adorable. And when you got past the fear, because I also went, oh man, ooh, is there something, you know, is there something to be scared of? And I don't get the stories of the dogs before I go in there, because I don't want to make assumptions. I want to assess for myself, unless there's a massive caution of, hey, the minute you open this kennel door, this dog is attacking people. Okay, tell me that. But when I sat down with her, she was just scared, and she was sweet, and we spent some time together, and she came around, and we renamed her Honey, and someone adopted her, and she is now a dog that is helping someone with special needs navigating through busy malls where they have anxiety, and she is the brave one. And so now people look at this black dog that could be very scary with a name like Venom, and they see Honey and they immediately go, oh, Honey, how cute. What a cute dog. And so it just changes the dog's demeanor, the person's demeanor, and allows everyone to just be freer in that space because of the name.
Yeah, it's true what they say about names, you know? It's interesting. What is the one message you want listeners to get from your book, from listening to our show, when considering adoption?
I want them to be open-minded when they consider adoption, be open-minded when they consider adoption, and be willing to go to a shelter and roll with the punches, because shelters are not customer service organizations. They are a safe haven for these pets. They are overwhelmed, underfunded, understaffed, and they're just doing the best that they can, with every day being a very hard day. They lose all of the time. And so if you go in there with grace and you're willing to look at different kinds of dogs and accept dogs versus going in going, I want specifically this kind of dog, unless you have a specific use case, like you're a farmer and you need a Great Pyrenees to help watch a herd or something like that, and consider fostering, because then you get to test drive the dogs. You help the dog, you help yourself, you see if it might be a good fit. That would be my message to people considering to adopt.
What a great message. Where can people purchase Sitting with Dogs?
You can purchase it at any bookstore. And it is so encouraging that so many people have been ordering and pre-ordering Sitting with Dogs. I am over the moon and happy. And I hope people get this book and go, you know, not only are there some heartwarming stories, but I am so happy to consider adopting, and I can go do what Rocky's doing. Everyone can go help and get involved in animals and do what I'm doing. You don't have to be a veterinarian. You don't have to be an expert. We all start somewhere. I make mistakes all of the time. So I hope this book allows you to do this. You don't have to go quit your job. You can just go in on the weekends and volunteer, but hopefully it helps others go do something they love, and that's work with animals.
Well, I want to thank you so much for writing it. Where can people also find out more about you and Flip Farms and Flip Coffee?
FlipCoffee.com. You can go find me anywhere. It's just my name, Rocky Kanaka, across social media. You know, we really get deep on the videos on YouTube, so you can watch the whole transformation of the dog. And I just appreciate everyone being a part of all of this.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming back on Best Bets for Pets. And I wish you amazing success with your book.
Thanks for having me, and hope to be back soon.
I'd love to have you. I hope you all enjoyed this show. I love talking with Rocky, and what a book. It's amazing. Again, it's called Sitting with Dogs, Stories of Rescue Dogs Going from Lost to Loved. Rocky Kanaka is the author, and thank you, Rocky, so much for coming on Best Bets for Pets. Thanks to all of the dogs in my life, Cassidy and Zeus for teaching me, and Bailey, and Nikki for teaching me about dogs and their amazing creatures. Thank you now to my current crew, which is all cats. Molly, Charlotte, and Dennis. You guys rock. Different than dogs, but you're special in your way. And of course, a big, huge thank you to everyone that's listening to Best Bets for Pets. I appreciate your listenership so much. And a huge thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, for all he does in making not only my show, but all of the shows great. He is an amazing producer. And hey, remember, keep listening, because you never know what we're going to have next on Best Bets for Pets.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.